guys, welcome to Vaudeville. Today is an exciting day. Today I'm here with a very special guest. I am here with
Tracy Dunn.
Yay! So Tracy is going to talk about herself, who she is, and we're just going to sit back, relax, and enjoy. So Tracy, who are you? Who is Tracy? Can you tell us more?
I am a Vietnamese American. I was born in Vietnam and moved to the U.S. when I was 6. I am a cradle Catholic, raised by a very Catholic Vietnamese family, and I love being a Catholic young adult. I right now am a graduate student at Northwestern studying chemical and biological engineering, and about to graduate from my PhD and kind of scared about that.
Wow, you're doing amazing though. That all sounds amazing. So we're going to break it down one by one. We're going to go straight to how you introduce yourself first and foremost. You said you were a Vietnamese American. What does that mean to you?
I guess for me, like, I identify as Vietnamese, but having grown up for most of my childhood in America, like, my primary language is English, and like, I'm very adapted and assimilated into American culture by now. But like, as I've grown up, I feel like I've become more and more appreciative of like my Vietnamese culture and background and like how I was raised from my parents.
Have you been in situations where you either feel like you're either or you've battled with sense of like push and pull? Because there are some people who are like, oh yeah, I feel very American when I'm in like my country, and then I feel very Vietnamese or any other person when I'm in America, and that sense of like, I do not feel like I'm fully one. And how do you describe that?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in this like suburb of Atlanta, and it was a very white suburb community. There weren't that many Vietnamese people, and I think in my grade there was like one other Vietnamese girl. But I always, I guess growing up, we would go to a Vietnamese church that was like pretty far away. So there was always that like duality of like, okay, when I'm in like Woodstock, the town that I'm from, like I'm just a normal like American girl. And there's not really much of like Vietnamese culture there. Like there's not, you know, Vietnamese food and stuff, and people who could like, I could talk to about like being Vietnamese or Asian. And then I would go to church, and then our church is like all Vietnamese people. And then like I would kind of switch hats to be like, oh, well, we're all kind of like Vietnamese American, and there we learn a lot about like our culture and stuff. So it was always like a duality, I guess.
Mm. So it's like code switching, like you're like, oh yeah, I am.
I don't think I like switch my personality per se, but like I would switch kind of my mindset of like, okay, like the people around me don't know anything about pho or like stuff like that. So I wouldn't talk to anyone about like things about my culture in my hometown or at my school. But like when I went to church, I feel like it was open topics to talk about and share. Yeah. Mm.
You were born in Vietnam, right? Mm-hmm. What was that? I don't know if you remember, because I don't know how old you are, if you can go deep into that. What was that transition like? If you can remember, I don't know how young you are.
Yeah, I was 6, so I was like really little. I have distinct memories of Vietnam, like growing up there and like... my family was from this like really small village town. My parents owned a farm, and like I have memories of like the town and growing up there with my cousins and stuff. And a lot of those memories just felt very like freeing, in that like in Vietnam, children just like kind of roam everywhere. And it feels like there's no rules or anything, and you can just do whatever you want as a child. And then when we moved to the U.S., of course, it was, like, a big culture shock. I mean, I was young, but, like, I still remember, like, everything in the U.S. felt much bigger. much cleaner, of course. But it also felt like there was like, you have to live a certain way or like behave a certain way to like fit in. Yeah.
I don't know if you actually told me the story. I think you did, but I'm not making something up, but then I just might remember it. But I think you said something about your parents got like an American flag in front
house. Yeah, I mean, I think my parents, like, they don't do many like things that are American related, but like once we bought a house, like we saw everyone in the neighborhood hangs up an American flag. I grew up in Georgia, so every house has an American flag outside of it. And so my dad bought one because he was like, this is what it's like to own a house in America, you know?
That sounds very hilarious and funny right now. Is the American flag still in your house?
We've moved houses from that, but yeah, I don't think we have it anymore.
Oh, wow. And I feel like your culture is something that is very, very, a huge foundation for you. Mm-hmm. Because in a lot of ways, like, you do speak Vietnamese to your family.
Mm-hmm.
And you did the Lunar New Year with us and gave us the red envelopes. And I was like, wow, this is so fun. So, like, how do you, because even in spaces where you were not even allowed to do that, how were you really able to express that? And how do you hold on to that part of yourself? Because you did say, yes, there was a Catholic church. But instead of, like, outside of the Vietnamese Catholic church, what else was something that was, like, yeah, Tracy is Vietnamese still.
Yeah, I would say growing up, I actually did not share much of my culture with my American friends. And mainly it was expressed through, like, my family. We have a big, like, Vietnamese family, and many of, like, our aunts and uncles and cousins and relatives, like, live around us in Georgia. So I always had, like, a Vietnamese community that I could see, like, on a monthly basis, actually. And so I think, like, a lot of it was expression at home. Yeah.
That sounds so great. So moving on to another part of your identity, you do say you are cradle Catholic. What does that mean for all the viewers? So, like, what does that even mean? I thought Roman Catholic was the only thing. What is a cradle Catholic?
Yeah, that is very Catholic terminology.
Yeah. What does that mean so that we can go deeper into that?
Well, cradle Catholic is someone who was born and raised Catholic. And I am very much so a cradle Catholic because I was born in a Catholic community in Vietnam, and it was a very, very Catholic community. Like, church was basically like the center of community life. Everyone goes to church like every day at 4 a.m., daily mass. And like,
4 a.m.?
Yes.
Okay. Wow. So that's like, everyone's waking up by like 3 a.m. I'm like, children, it's time to leave.
Yes, I didn't always make it to the 4 a.m. mass, I remember. Like, my mom would try to wake me up, and I'll be like, no, you can go. But, yeah, most of the adults would attend mass regularly, very involved at church. And I think, like, just growing up, like, my parents really showed me what it's like to, like, live out my faith. Like, not just to go to church and that's it, but, like, that it's involved in our daily lives. We would have family prayers every day where we played the rosary together. I talked about like the community that I had of like my aunts and uncles and stuff in Georgia. We would meet together once a month to do like a community prayer night. And then we were pretty involved at the Catholic Vietnamese church as well in Georgia. So like, I think through my parents, I've really like learned what it's like to just not to just be Catholic, but like live out the Catholic faith. And I'm like very, very grateful that is my foundation, because I feel like even though I might not have always understood how important it is in my life, definitely now I like understand that I have such a firm foundation that it's not something that I can lose easily.
Yeah. Speaking of firm foundation on losing things easily. Because, like, I feel like usually when you get to a certain age, you're just like, now it's time for me to question everything about what I've grown up to know, and including, especially, my faith.
Yeah.
And we'll go deeper into, like, the fact that you're in STEM and the idea of questioning something that has to be ingrained in you if mm-hmm. you're going into that field. But more or less, like, did you ever go through that? And, like, if you did go through that, how did you maneuver that? Or if not, like, what was the thing that was, like, holding you to the ground? But I think you already said it's family, but if you want to go deeper into that, that would be great.
I don't think I had, like, a period where I questioned my faith in that, like, do I believe in God? But I often think about, like, why do I still have my faith versus others who may have grown up cradle Catholic as well and did go through those phases and kind of ended up ultimately deciding to not practice anymore, leave their faith. And I had, yeah, throughout undergrad, lots of, like, thoughts about kind of why is my faith so, like, firm. And, yeah, I think it goes back again to my parents. Like, they really instilled in me, like, that faith is something that you live out and that my values are very connected to the faith that I have. And I think also, like, they helped me develop, like, a relationship kind of faith. Like, a faith where it's not just about, like, doing things and, like, the things, the rituals and the practices, but that, like, they showed me that my faith is about a relationship with God. And when you view it in terms of relationship, I think it's a totally different lens to, like, maintain or leave the relationship. I don't know if that makes sense. Than just viewing it as, like, something that I do.
Yeah. Also, like, additional, because I was thinking of that over the last interview I had, where I was like, me too, I felt like there's this need of, like, why didn't I question my faith? Because I'm supposed to go through a questioning phase of this faith thing that I'm going through. I definitely did, in a sense, question the church I was in. That's prior to turning, converting Catholic. But I never was like, yeah, God doesn't exist, you know. And I was like, am I doing life wrong? Because, like, everybody around me is questioning this thing, and why not? But definitely, like, mine was also, like, my family was holding me down, and, like, my culture too, in a sense, was helping me, because my country is, if you're Christian, it's, like, very intense. Like, it's, like, you are full on that. There's, like, if the word atheist is almost, like, doesn't exist to a lot of people. If they're atheist, they'll be like, oh, you need to go for deliverance. You need to go to the church pastor or something like that to deliver you from all these evil spirits or something like that. So, like, I was like, okay, that makes a lot of sense. But still, like, am I not supposed to question it? Because, like, academia is where, like, a lot of, like, questioning. And academia is filled with people who are not of any faith or any religion. So how did you, because you are in academia, and we will definitely go more into, like, the STEM part of it, but, like, how did you, like, around that same space of people who are not of that same religion, how were you still able to, like, you said, yes, there is a firm foundation, but how does that foundation stand in terms of, like, you're building this personality of yourself that is just academic focused?
Yeah, I think I've always grown up very, like, protective of my faith because I knew it was a special thing. And the town that I'm from, or I grew up in, Woodstock, like, it was, I mean, we're from Georgia, which is the Bible, in the Bible Belt, and a lot of Protestants. Like, I grew up a lot around a lot of Protestants. So for some reason, I always felt very protective of my Catholic faith specifically. Mm-hmm. And then so, like, growing up, going into, like, further into academia, I've always felt like my faith was what made me special and gave me this, like, special lens to science. And I've never really, like, questioned that, like, faith and science go together because I had that special view already. And for me, it felt like the other people didn't get it.
Like, it's not my fault, it's your fault.
So I just always felt like I had this special insight through my faith. So it was never really something that I questioned. And I like, not that I didn't do kind of, like, delving into what the other perspectives are, but I always felt that, like, this, like, I have this unique perspective because of my faith.
Yeah, I totally, totally, definitely get that. So now move on a little bit, because we'll find a way to, like, merge it all together. To move on a little bit, you are a PhD student.
Yes.
What does that mean to people? Being a PhD in the US, and tell us what you do, because people don't know. What is your PhD in? What are you spending your life doing? How long has been your PhD? Just tell it all.
Yeah, I'm a PhD candidate, first in my family to pursue this.
Yay! Woo!
Thank you, thank you. And yeah, not even my family doesn't understand it either. Not a lot of people understand what I do. But I am currently a PhD candidate in chemical and biological engineering. I love chemical engineering as a field. It's kind of the study of how to mass produce something based on understandings of the system at a molecular level to, like, a large scale production level is how I explain it in my but my research, so PhD is committing to some sort of research that is unique and that no one else has ever done before. So that's what your thesis and dissertation is supposed to be on. And my research is on enzyme promiscuity. Risque.
Oh, the enzymes are out here. Belonging to the streets.
what that means is that I'm just studying enzymes that can act on a variety of different molecules, and we're trying to characterize these enzymes that can form carbon-carbon bonds between molecules, basically so that we can make interesting new molecules biologically instead of right now traditionally sourcing molecules from like petrochemical sources and fossil fuels. So our lab is really interested in kind of developing biological routes to making current commodity and specialty chemicals that are used in society.
Did you always know that's what you wanted to do? When did you get fascinated? Or what did you want to be as a child? And they were like, nope, that's not it.
I did not always know that I wanted to be a chemical engineer. I don't think I even knew what a chemical engineer was until I started studying it. I think I grew up wanting to be a teacher.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I see that still as, like, part of the talents that I have today. So my siblings and I are first generation college students, and so we didn't really have, like, guidance on how to select a major and, like, how to, I guess, go about, like, pursuing a career. And when I was, like, thinking about what to study for undergrad, I was basically like, well, I'm good at math and science, and I took a lot of chemistry classes in high school, and I liked it. So I was like, well, maybe I should do chemical engineering because that sounds a little bit fancier. And engineering, it's a safer route than just, like, basic sciences.
Really?
Yeah, because it's more application-based, and there's more jobs in those areas versus, like, going straight towards, like, science where it's directly just research related was what I was thinking at the time. And so I just, like, picked chemical engineering on a whim, not really knowing what it's about. But when I started taking classes in undergrad, I, like, really loved it. Like, I was such a big nerd. I just, like, really liked doing, like, mass balance equations and solving problems that, like, are on such big scales, but, like, also requiring, like, a knowledge of what happens at a, like, microscopic scale as well. So I really loved, like, thinking on these, like, different scales. And, I mean, yeah, I went through undergrad just loving all of my chemical engineering classes. And then I did undergraduate research with a lab that was metabolic engineering related, so, like, engineering cells to kind of make different metabolites or like understanding the metabolism of a cell to manipulate it to do something that we want it to do. And definitely, like, I've always been drawn towards like human health and that kind of field. So that took priority in like the careers that I was looking at. And then I went to work for a while in vaccine research with the NIH.
Oh, and, yeah. Okay.
So we were making new vaccines for flu and HIV and Zika. And I mean, I really loved it, but I decided to go back to school because I wanted that kind of more research training for this field. And yeah, I think I'll probably end up going back to like a similar kind of job in a biotech industry.
And so you're looking more into industry than
yes.
Than teaching, academia.
I know, although I say I like teaching.
So I think one of the main questions of this episode is that how do you see all of these parts of you come together? Do they clash? How do they clash? Or how do they merge for you?
Yeah, I think I've never seen them clashing. I think I've always like seen myself as like a multifaceted person, and I like that I am able to merge different aspects of my life together. So like for me, it's like first and foremost, I'm Catholic, but I really think it's important to be a Catholic in the real world. Like I don't like separating those parts of myself, and I think it's really important to show that like you can be really deep into your faith and like really religious, but also love like hanging out and doing normal things with people and going out to bars and stuff. And you can be a very devout Catholic and be in science, because those things aren't one-on-one, like they aren't separated. I think being Catholic is my number one identity. Mm-hmm. And I want to show that like that is in all aspects of me, like that is how I am a scientist, that's how I am a student, that's how I am as a friend, like someone who lives in the real world. I think it's really important to show that like in these days where people tend to segregate like based on religion and identities like that, that you can be very, very devout and religious and also be just very involved in the world, like and yeah, that like this is how you actually live out a full like Catholic faith, is to be yourself in all aspects of your life.
Yeah, I remember like once, I don't remember who this was, but someone was like, oh yeah, Christianity, this person's Protestant, so take that the way you want to take it. But said Christianity is not my religion, it's my way of life, in which that I live every day of my life, you know, having God as my priority, but also living my life in that sense of like, that's my foundation. And you talk a lot about foundation a lot, but I feel like in your life, it's kind of like you have this foundation of like, you know, Catholicism and God being that main foundation, and everything else just like, because you have that solid foundation, everything's built very strong and very straight. So like every little break that's added, like, oh, you are a scientist is something that's added, oh, you are that, but that's that same foundation that's used in every part of the house.
Yeah.
That keeps it straight, so there's no like separation of that, in which it's more or less like the Leaning Tower of Pizza than an actual sturdy building or like standing straight.
Yeah.
And it's something that you use in every aspect of your life. And I do see that, like, anytime I see you, you're just a sense of, like, radiating, you know, you're radiating God's love all the time. And then, like, sometimes we're talking about something, like, it's just, like, quote, unquote, of the world, and you're like, and how do you think about this in relation to this? Or here is this prayer, so really think about this, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. but you found a way to find that balance, and that's very beautiful to see, and how, like, that works in you. Like,
essentially,
like, pointing out that you're in STEM, which is a lot of questioning, a lot of people not of that same.
Definitely in higher education.
Yeah, exactly. Because someone was telling me the further you go in education, the less likely you're going to keep God.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the fears of like a family member of mine when I was like, I'm going to get my master's. And like, oh, they start questioning and then things, you start losing God or who God is. And I was like, oh, I don't know about that. But that's an idea that a lot of people have. And studies have actually shown that the more people go into education, the less likely they are to keep God in your life. But like, it's so beautiful to see, like, you are getting, you've gotten to the highest level with a PhD. And you still hold on to God. Well, in a few months, you'll be Dr. Tracy Dean. So. And you still hold on to that as a film. Not just holding on to it, like, that is your life in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And that's really beautiful to see. If someone is going through a sense of identity crisis or something like that, what advice do you say to them? Or people who are like, I don't really know who I am. What word of advice or just something to say? Because most times it might not actually be advice. It might be like, oh, I relate to that, bro. I relate to that. I don't know about that. But it's just like, what would you tell them, more or less?
Yeah, I think lately I've been reflecting back on like what are my roots, like what was little Tracy like, and I think that's really helpful for me, is just to think back about like what was I like before like all these different things of the world started to influence me.
Mm-hmm.
And how was I like as a child. I think that it's a really telling of like what maybe it was really influenced by the way you were brought up, but I think as a child you felt more free to be who you are oftentimes. And thinking about that, like, child me makes me like reflect on what are my real personalities like, and what are my talents, and what are my like real interests. And so yeah, I would say to think back about like who you truly were like when you were a child.
Mm, that's really good. Thank you so much, Tracy, for being here. I hope you enjoyed it.
I did.
You did? Okay. And I'm so excited for people to hear this, because like I talk about is a huge problem is like my Catholic faith, but like I don't have as much Catholic friends. And Tracy is one of them, so hey. And so like, yeah, so stay tuned for other episodes. Thank you for listening to Fourthville.
Thank you, Naomi.